الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. طيب, we will continue inshallah with our program talking about the major signs that will happen before the Day of Judgment. And tonight we'll be talking, as promised before, about the return of Isa alayhi salam, the return of Jesus alayhi salam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned his second coming or his return among the 10 major signs. As I told you before, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not use the word major. He used the word ayat, which are signs, but most of these signs are supernatural, they are miraculous, they are huge, they will affect a big number of people. And Rasulullah ﷺ put them together in this hadith, hadith of Hudhayfa ibn Asid al-Ghifari in Sahih Muslim. So I told you before, the Sahaba were talking about the Sa'ah, and he said the hour will not happen, will not take a place until you see these 10 signs. And he mentioned one of them, the return of Isa alayhi salam. However, some Muslims denied this concept, this part of our faith. And some Muslims who are actually, they are known for their knowledge, for their scholarship, some of them, and they try to reject this aqidah. Not all of them are knowledgeable or are scholars, but some of them. And some of them made a claim that the ahadith are ahad about the nuzul of Isa alayhi salam, or the return of Jesus. And they said, some of them, this concept is foreign to our faith, to our aqidah. It is something that was introduced by the Jews or the Christians. So it is something that is borrowed from other beliefs, from other faiths. That is the claim that some people did. And as I said, they said that the ahadith are ahad, they are not mutawatir. Because there are some Muslims who believe if the hadith is not mutawatir, is ahad. Ahad that was narrated by a couple of sahabis, then it should not be accepted in the matters of aqidah. But the majority of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah believe if the hadith is authentic, whether if it is mutawatir, is a done deal. There is no disagreement about. And we said mutawatir, the mutawatir hadith is a report that was narrated by such a large number of people that they cannot be expected to agree upon a lie, all of them together. This is mutawatir. And the ahad is any hadith that was narrated by a number of people whose number did not reach that of mutawatir. So they are less. There is no specific number that was mentioned by the scholars of hadith, but they said if they reach a number they cannot be expected, it's impossible for them to agree upon a lie. Like, you cannot imagine 40 people to come together from different areas, from different places to come together and fabricate a lie, let alone the Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has praised in the Quran, and he said he's pleased with them. Could you imagine that 25 Sahabis would come together and fabricate a lie about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? It's very difficult, it's impossible. When we talk about the Sahaba, it's impossible, you know, to imagine this. So that was their claim. So the first claim is that hadith are ahad. The second argument, they said Rasulullah ﷺ said that لا نبي بعدي, Allah, in an authentic hadith, there will be no prophet after me. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Ahzab, ما كان محمد أبا أحد من رجالكم ولكن رسول الله وخاتم النبيين. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Ahzab that Muhammad is not the father of any of your men, but he is the messenger of Allah and the seal of the prophets. So if he is the seal of the prophets, and he himself said in authentic hadiths, لا نبي بعدي, there will be no prophet after me, how Can you say that Isa alayhi salam will come back at the end of time, and we know that he's a prophet? So if he's a prophet, then there will be a prophet after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It sounds very difficult, right, to solve. Huh? We'll deal with it at the end, inshallah. Bi-ithnillahi ta'ala. And the third argument that they used is that there is nothing mentioned about the second return of Isa alayhi salam in the Qur'an. That is their third claim. That there is nothing mentioned in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala about his second coming. Now let's deal with the Qur'an. Let's start with this last argument, which is the Qur'an. Did the Qur'an mention anything about, you know, the second coming of Isa alayhi salam, on the return of Isa to earth? The Qur'an actually mentioned there are some ayat. Some of them are very strong, they are very clear. One of them in Surah Az-Zukhruf, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in this ayah, in this surah, Surah Az-Zukhruf, ayah 61, وَإِنَّهُ لَعِلْمٌ لِسَّاعَةٍ. After talking, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was talking from ayah 57 to ayah 65. In this ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be talking about Isa alayhi salam and the different groups who will have different views about the nature of Isa alayhi salam. Was he the son of God? Was he God himself who came to earth in the shape of a human being? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not mention these different ideologies, but he mentioned that different groups had different views about Isa alayhi salam. But in the middle of this passage from 57 to 65, exactly the ayah 61, you can check it by yourself, he said, وَإِنَّهُ لَعِلْمٌ لِلسَّاعَةِ فَلَا تَمْتَرُنَّ بِهَا وَاتَّبِعُونِ هَذَا صِرَاطٌ مُسْتَقِيمٌ. In a different qira'ah, mutawatira, وَإِنَّهُ لَعَلَمٌ لِلسَّاعَةِ عَلَمٌ لِلسَّاعَةِ فَلَا تَمْتَرُنَّ بِهَا. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, all the ulama, they said, عِلْمٌ لِلسَّاعَةِ here, they said Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mean that Jesus, Isa, will be a well-known sign for the hour. عِلْم here, or عَلَم, it's a sign for the hour. عَلَم, flag. It's called a flag, alam in Arabic, because it is a sign. When you have a flag posted in one place, and people will see it, it is a sign for something, right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used this term, ilm, or alam in a different qira'ah, وَإِنَّهُ لَعَلَمٌ لِلسَّاعَةِ. Indeed, Isa will be a sign for the hour. So be not in doubt about it, of it. And don't be in doubt of the day of judgment. It's coming. Prepare yourself for it. This is the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and follow me. Or this is what Allah told Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to tell his ummah, or to tell all people. So follow me. This is a straight path, you know, following the manhaj of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As I said, the word alam, the other qira'ah, is more meaningful when indicating the meaning of a sign. That Isa alayhi salam will be a sign for the day of judgment. If you tell me, you know, he came 2,000 years ago, so then his coming is close, very close. We live at the end of times now. And Rasulullah ﷺ said about his mission, it is one of the minor signs for the day of judgment. And his death, the death of Rasulullah ﷺ, one of the minor signs. And between Rasulullah ﷺ, 600 years. So he could be a sign from that perspective. So the ulama, they said no. I mean, Rasulullah Isa alayhi salam was 600 before Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi salam. If he was one of the signs, he would mention him among the signs when he mentioned his death alayhi salatu wasalam. When he mentioned his death and the conquest of Jerusalem and other things that will happen after his time, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi salam, he didn't mention anything before his coming alayhi salatu wasalam. So he started Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi salam when talking about the minor signs with his mission, with the advent of Islam, and then his death, and then the conquest of Jerusalem, and then he talked about a plague that took place at the time of the Sahaba. Around 18,000 people passed away at that time, and he talked about some other things. It's not our subject. Minor signs, talking about minor signs is not our subject here. We'll focus, inshallah, on the major signs. In a different ayah in Surah An-Nisa, and this is the understanding of some Sahabas. But I'll tell you about another ayah at the end of this halaqah that is in Surah Al-Imran. But now I'll deal with these two ayahs. The second ayah in Surah An-Nisa, And this is the understanding of some Sahabas or their tafsir. In Surah An-Nisa, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَإِنْ مِنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ إِلَّا لَيُؤْمِنَنَّ بِهِ قَبْلَ مَوْتِهِ. Talking about Isa alayhi salam. وَيَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ يَكُونُ عَلَيْهِمْ شَهِيدًا. So, and there is none from the people of the book, but he will surely believe in Jesus. This translation is based on this famous understanding of the Sahaba of this ayah. And on the day of resurrection, he will be a witness against them. This is ayah 159 in Surah An-Nisa, chapter 4. So some Sahabas, radiallahu anhum, one of them is Abu Huraira, used to believe that this ayah means that it is about the people of the book that will live after the second coming of Isa alayhi salam, and majority of them will believe in him as a messenger of Allah, not as a son of God. That is the understanding of some Sahabas. As I said, one of them is Abu Huraira. When he narrated the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَالَّذِي نَفْسِي بِيَدِهِ. Look at the hadith. Many a hadith talking about Isa, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, would say, وَالَّذِي نَفْسِي بِيَدِهِ, which means, by he in whose hand is my soul. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rasulullah trying to confirm this meaning. Wallahi, in a different meaning. By Allah, the son of Mary will come down. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam trying to confirm this concept. And yet we find some Muslims who ignore and neglect this ahadith. It's like Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is swearing by nothing. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is swearing by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that the son of Mary will come down at the end of time. Yes, it is miraculous, his coming, I mean, staying there for 2,000 years in the second heaven. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said he is in the second heaven. I met him in the second heaven. And he will come down, resting on the wings of two angels. It is miraculous. But is it difficult for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to do something like that? When NASA tells you that in this universe there are 1 billion galaxies, we believe it, right? Science. It's NASA talking about science. But is it difficult for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to send one of his prophets resting on the wings of two angels? If we believe in the existence of angels, then it won't be difficult. If we believe in the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is it difficult to believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is able to send a human being, Isa alayhi salam, at the end of time, to be a sign, a major sign for the day of judgment? So in this hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is confirming the meaning. وَالَّذِي نَفْسِي بِيَدِهِ. وَالَّذِي نَفْسِي بِيَدِهِ. By he in whose hand is my soul. لَيُوشِكَنَّ أَنْ يَنْزِلَ فِيكُمْ إِبْنُ مَرْيَمَ حَكَمًا عَدْلًا. That Isa will shortly come down amongst you. Talking to the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Amongst you as a just ruler. As a just judge. And this is very important when talking, dealing with the one of their arguments, those people who deny the coming of Jesus. The word hakaman adlan, as a just ruler. فَيَكْسِرُ الصَّلِيبِ. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said he will break the cross. So he will tell the Christians who believed that he was crucified, or the Jews, or the people of book who believed that he was crucified, he will tell them, this salib is false. I was not crucified, it was taken up to heaven. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took me up to heaven. فَيَكْسِرُ الصَّلِيبُ وَيَقْتُلُ الْخِنْزِيرُ. And they said, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he will kill the swine. يعني, it will be haram. This ruling will be well established on earth. No one will come near the pork. People will not stop consuming pork at this time. وَيَضَعُ الْجِزْيَةِ. And he will abolish the jizya tax. The jizya, that is, the tax that non-Muslims are supposed to pay when they live in a Muslim society, when they are under the protection of a Muslim state. By the way, there are many Muslims who believe that this is not fair. But if you think about it, this is actually very fair when you compare between the payment of this tax and zakat. This tax is a standard. Muslims, they have to pay zakat in a Muslim country, in a Muslim state. And if a Muslim is extremely wealthy, is very wealthy, he has to pay 2.5 of his wealth, which could be a big amount of money. At the time of Umar ibn al-Khattab, the tax was one dinar for each non-Muslim who lived in the Muslim land. For the state, because you are protected by the state. There is no injustice here. I mean, we live in Canada, like the rest of the Canadians who are paying taxes. So in a Muslim land, the non-Muslims are not supposed to pay zakat. It's not fair to tell them to pay zakat because they are not Muslims. Zakat is a ibadah. It's a monetary obligation, but at the same time, it's a ibadah. It's an act of worship. So you cannot force a non-Muslim to perform an act of ibadah. So what is the alternative? They want to live for free? I mean, the state is protecting you. The state is providing some services. So you need to help. You need to contribute. So, but in the media here, when they talk about it, it's like something that is humiliating. That non-Muslims, if they live in a Muslim land, they have to pay this tax. But Muslims are paying zakat. You don't think about this. Anyway, so Isa alayhi salam will stop this payment. So he will not accept anything else besides Islam. وَيَفِيضُ الْمَالُ حَتَّى لَا يَقْبَلَهُ أَحَدٌ And then wealth will be abandoned until no one will accept it. No one will accept wealth. No one will accept sadaqah. I don't need sadaqah. I am fine. I'm happy. I'm wealthy. Everyone will be fine. Everyone will be doing well at the time of Isa alayhi salam. يَفِيضُ الْمَالِ Mal, wealth will be abandoned. People will just lose the desire for wealth and collecting wealth at the time of Isa alayhi salam. In a different hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, لَا يَكُونُ بَيْنَ اثْنَيْنِ عَدَاوَةٌ He will live in Sahih Muslim. He will stay for 7 years. There will be no enmity between two people. People will love each other. People will help each other. Everything will be fine at the time of Isa. And this is the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah will make His religious victorious. Peace will be established on earth. And His kingdom will be established on earth. By the way, Christians, they believe in the same thing in a different way. That He is the Son of God, will come and establish the kingdom of the Lord, and peace will be established on earth. So we have similar beliefs, but there are some, of course, differences, especially when it comes to the nature of Isa alayhi salam. This is a big difference. We believe that he's a prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Many of them believe that he is the Son of God. Anyway, so, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in this hadith in Sahih Muslim, حَتَّى تَكُونَ السَّجْدَةُ الْوَاحِدَةُ خَيْرًا مِنَ الدُّنْيَا وَمَا فِيهَا Until one sajda will be better than the whole world. One sajda will be better than the whole world. So, I don't exactly know what is the meaning of this statement. But it could be that, you know, people will... I'm not sure. I don't want to give my personal interpretation here. I'll just leave it here. Then Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu qala at the end of this hadith, when he narrated this hadith, he said, اقرأوا إن شئتم. Read if you wish. وَإِن مِّنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ إِلَّا لَيُؤْمِنَنَّ بِهِ قَبْلَ مَوْتِهِ وَيَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ يَكُونُ عَلَيْهِمْ شَهِيدًا So he narrated the hadith and he said, this is the meaning of this ayah, that he will come at the end of time and majority of the people of the book, all the people of the book who are still alive there at his time, they will believe in him before his death, and that he will be a witness against all of them on the Day of Judgment. This hadith is found in Bukhari and Muslim. So it is an authentic hadith. The second answer, the hadith about his return and not ahad. They said they are ahad, they are not mutawatir. So they are narrated by a few sahabas, we cannot take aqidah from this hadith, even though they believe that they are authentic. And as I said, the majority of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah scholars, Sunni scholars, believe if a hadith is authentic, then it should be accepted, whether it is ahad or not ahad. But here, even if we go with their statement, with their claim that ahad, the ulama, they said actually they are not ahad. Many qualified scholars in the area of hadith, they said a hadith about the Nuzul, the coming of Al-Mahdi, Isa alayhi salam, are mutawatir. Ibn Kathir, rahmatullahi alayhi, the famous scholar of tafsir and hadith, he was a highly qualified scholar of hadith. Ibn Kathir, he said, تواترت الأحاديث عن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه أخبر بنزول عيسى بن مريم قبل يوم القيامة إماما عادلا وحكما مقسطا. He said the ahadith from Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم are mutawatir about the coming, the second return of Isa عليه السلام before the Day of Judgment as a just, you know, judge and a decent governor or a decent ruler. And this is found in Tafsir ibn Kathir. Anyone can have access to this book, Tafsir ibn Kathir. And then some ulama mentioned other ulama qualified scholar in the area of hadith, Siddiq Hasan Khan. He's from India, but highly qualified scholar of hadith. He used to believe that the hadith about the return of Isa alayhi salam are mutawatir. Abdullah Muhammad al-Siddiq al-Ghumari, another qualified, highly qualified scholar. These are contemporary scholars. This second one, al-Ghumari, he's from Morocco. And he's a qualified scholar in hadith. Sheikh Muhammad Anwar Shah al-Kashmiri. He wrote a book, we have it here in the library, about tawatur, all the ahadith about the nuzul of Isa alayhi salam are mutawatir. He said that tasrihu bima tawatara fi nuzul al-Masih, that is the title of his book. Al-Azim Abadi, another great scholar in the area of hadith, the one who explained Aun al-Ma'bud, Sharh Sunan Abi Dawood, he confirmed that all the ahadith about the return of Isa alayhi salam are mutawatir, and he said this is madhab Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Sheikh Nasiruddin al-Albani, he was a qualified scholar of hadith, contemporary scholar. He said the hadith about the emergence of al-Dajjal and the return of Isa are mutawatir. Mutawatir in meaning, يعني they empower each other. يعني the different stories in this ahadith, but all of them have the same meaning that Isa alayhi salam, that Jesus will come back at the end of the time. This is the meaning that you get from this hadith, from this hadith, from this hadith, different ahadith, different stories, but all of them confirm those meanings, the emergence of al-Dajjal, or the coming of al-Mahdi, or the coming of Isa. And he said, people, this is the statement of Sheikh al-Albani, should not be deceived by those who rejected these hadiths, because they are ignorant in the area, in this area of knowledge. So not everyone is qualified in the area of hadith. We have many branches in the Sharia. When it comes to Islamic studies, we have the science of hadith, we have the science of fiqh, we have usul al-fiqh, we have tafsir, and we have some other areas in the Sharia. So some scholars could be highly qualified in the area of hadith, but they are not great fuqaha. When it comes to fiqh, they need the help of other scholars. Some scholars could be highly qualified in fiqh, but then like Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh, but he was not good in the area of hadith. But then we compare between Shafi'i and Imam Ahmad. Shafi'i was great faqih. He used to tell Imam Ahmad, you are better than me in hadith. If you get an authentic hadith, let me know about it. But Imam Ahmad used to believe that Imam Shafi'i is better than him in the area of fiqh. And they used to love each other, respect each other, visit each other. There was no shahna, no enmity between the scholars, because these are the pious people of the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And there is piety, there is good intention, then people will have no issues. You don't see, you know, these differences and these problems that we see them nowadays, unfortunately, between people who that are involved in da'wah or involved in the area of teaching. Unfortunately, this is very unfortunate. So Imam al-Albani is saying that these people are not qualified to make a statement about those hadith. They said none of them has collected all the different chains of narration. Because the ulama of hadith who are qualified in the hadith, they come to one hadith, they look at all the different chains of hadith before they make a final statement. And the chains, you know, they are narrated, you know, one person from one person, until they reach Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is called the Sanad. So they spend their whole life studying these chains of narration. It's not like someone who, you know, he's a student of knowledge like ours, you know, we are a student of knowledge, we take actually from these scholars. Because these people spend their whole life studying this area of knowledge. Like Sheikh al-Albani used to go to Al-Maktab al-Zahiriyya in Damascus, and he used to spend the whole day. He would forget that his family brought some breakfast for him. He will forget on a daily basis. Busy looking for this ahadith and all the, you know, those old books and those old scriptures, al-makhtutat, and trying to verify different chains of narrations. And he was able to, mashallah, produce a great deal of knowledge. Yani he wrote, he was able to author many books in the science of hadith. Because he dedicated his time, his life, for, you know, for this purpose. And there are many scholars before him. Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed this ummah with great scholars who dedicated their life for this purpose. Some of them used to travel walking walking from going to Baghdad to Damascus, going to Bukhara to Samarkand, walking in the old days, looking for the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. No cars, no trains, no planes, nothing. These luxuries, didn't have these luxuries. So one of them was facing, you know, harsh weather conditions. He ended up, akramakumullah, urinating blood. He was, facing these conditions and this harsh weather conditions, fi sabilillah, for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to serve the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised to protect his deen, and this is how he protected his deen until we have now, mashallah, Bukhari and Muslim. And we don't have the time to go and pick up a book and read these books. We don't have time. We're busy with Facebook accounts and with our emails and movies and games, electronic games, and PS3 and PS4 and PS5. I don't know if there is 5 now. We have other area of interest, our own area of interest. So anyway, Sheikh Al-Albani rahmatullah alayh, he said, if they looked into the different chains of narration, they would have found them mutawatir, and they would not make such a statement. Like the conclusion that was reached, he said, like the other experts were able to conclude or reach this conclusion, and he mentioned here one of those experts, classical scholars, Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani rahmatullah alayh. If you are asked, what is the best book of hadith? Is al-Bukhari. What is the best explanation? Is the explanation of Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani. Fath al-Bari fi sharh sahih al-Bukhari. 14 volumes. يعني, mashallah. 14 volumes just explaining sahih al-Bukhari beside other books that they were able to author. Anyway, among this ahadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, this is in Sahih al-Bukhari and Muslim, كيف أنتم إذا أنزل ابن مريم فيكم وإمامكم منكم. He said, how happy you will be when the son of Mary will will come down among you, and your imam will be from amongst you. And we said, who is the imam? We mentioned last time Imam al-Mahdi. So his name is not mentioned in Sahih al-Bukhari and Muslim. Al-Mahdi, the word Mahdi is not there. But the hadith is talking about a Muslim leader who will be leading the prayer, and Isa alayhi salam will come down. And this was confirmed in many ahadith. In the different hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لا تزال طائفة من أمتي يقاتلون على الحق ظاهرين إلى يوم القيامة. قال فينزل عيسى بن مريم عليه السلام فيقول أميرهم صلي لنا. تفضل صلي لنا. أميرهم. He didn't mention Bukhari and Muslim. He didn't mention Mahdi. But all the ulama, they said it is al-Mahdi, the Amir, the prince here. فَيَقُولُ لَا إِنَّ بَعْضَكُمْ عَلَى بَعْضٍ أُمَرَاءَ تَكْرِمَةُ اللَّهِ هَذِهِ الْأُمَّةِ صحيح مسلم. So in this hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, a group of my ummah will continue fighting for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or for the truth. This is what he said. And they will be victorious till the day of judgment. And then Jesus, son of Mary, will come down and their leader will say, come and lead our prayer. We mentioned in a different hadith that is not found in Bukhari Muslim, that was al-Mahdi. But here in Sahih Muslim, is saying the Amir, their leader, their prince. And then he will say no. Isa alayhi salam will say no. You have leaders among you. This is an honor, or this is the honor of Allah for this ummah. Now the location of his descent, based on different ahadith, one of them in Sahih Muslim, that he will descend while resting, as I said, his hands on the wings of two angels. He will descend on the white minaret located in the eastern part of Damascus. And many ulama, they said this minaret is actually beside al-Jami' al-Umawi, the Umayyad Mosque, in the heart of all Damascus. If you look at the picture of the Umayyad Mosque, it has three minarets. One of them is called the Western Minaret, and the other one is called the Eastern Minaret. And then the one at the back is called the Bride Minaret. I don't know what is the background of this name, the Bride Minaret. But the one in the left side is called the Eastern Minaret. So the ulama, they said, there is no other minaret in the city of Damascus beside this one. So, and they said it makes sense. People will be preparing themselves for Salat al-Fajr. So they should be preparing themselves to pray Salat al-Fajr in a mosque, in a masjid. So they said it must be this white minaret. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not say he will come down in al-Masjid al-Umawi, in the Umayyad Mosque. He did not mention this. But he said he will come, descend on the white minaret, located in the eastern part of Damascus. This is the statement of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the ulama, they said this is the only minaret that is in the east of Damascus. Rasulullah ﷺ gave us the description. He said he will be wearing two pieces of cloth, light yellow in color. And he gave us also his attributes, physical description, alayhi salam. In a different hadith talking about his hajj, that he will make hajj or umrah. Again, Rasulullah ﷺ trying to confirm this meaning. وَالَّذِي نَفْسِي بِيَدِهِ, swearing by Allah, by the name of Allah. By he in whose hand is my soul, la yuhillanna ibn Maryam min bifajr ar-ruha hajjan aw mu'tamiran aw la yuthanniyannahuma. And this hadith in Sahih Muslim. So by he in whose hand is my soul, the son of Mary will approach Fajr ar-ruha, is called the Ruha pass. It is a place between Mecca and Medina. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed by it many times when traveling between Medina and Mecca. Fajr Rawha. It's a place between Mecca and Medina. So he said from that place, he will make talbiyah and make the niyyah for hajj. Wallahu ta'ala alam. So he said he will approach that place to perform hajj, umrah. Maybe he will make niyyah before that place, but he will pass by this place as someone who is planning to make hajj or umrah or both. This is the statement of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and this is in Sahih Muslim. Now, let's deal with the third argument. What was the third argument? So we dealt with the Quran. And I'll tell you about another ayah, very amazing ayah. I left it till the end because I was not able to understand the argument of the scholars until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed me, gave me a gift with a beautiful understanding of this ayah. That it could be a strong, actually, proof of his coming at the end of time. In Ali Imran. I'll tell you about it at the end. We'll talk about it at the end. But we know now that he was mentioned in which surah? First surah I mentioned? Az-Zukhruf. The number of the ayah? 61. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in it said, وَإِنَّهُ لَعِلْمٌ لِسَاعَةٍ. The other qira'ah, وَإِنَّهُ لَعَلَمٌ لِسَاعَةٍ. And alam, as I said, is a very strong word indicating sign, the word sign. It means sign. That he's a sign for the day of judgment. And we said their claim that these ahadith are ahad. Many qualified scholars in the area of hadith said they are mutawatir. These people who made this claim are not qualified in the area of hadith. They don't have the right to make this statement. So these ahadith actually are mutawatir. They confirm each other. Many ahadith from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam talking about the coming of Isa alayhi salam. What was the third argument? What was the third confusion that I mentioned? Yes. Naam, tafaddal. Yes, yes. La nabiyya ba'di. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, there will be no prophet after me. And in Surah Al-Ahzab, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, he's khatamun nabiyyin. That Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the seal of the prophet. The ulama, يعني, they have a manhaj, they have a methodology, Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. يحاولون أن يجمعون بين الأدلة ما أمكن يسمونه مذهب الجمع بين الأدلة ما أمكن يعني they try to use all the proofs as much as possible and not neglect any one of them because all of them are coming from Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم. There should be no contradiction between these ahadith because they are the statements of one person. If there are statements coming from different people, then there is a possibility for contradiction, right? Everyone thinks differently. Imam Ahmed is not like Imam Shafi'i. Imam Shafi'i is different than Abu Hanifa. Abu Hanifa is different than Imam Malik. So we have different opinions, but this is Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he's the one who told us, لا نبي بعدي. Authentic hadith, there will be no prophet after me. But he is the one who told us that Isa alayhi salam, who was a prophet, and he will keep his status as prophet, he will come at the end of time. So there, it could be difficult, right, for some people to understand this, right? Here the ulama, as I said, their manhaj is al-jam'u bayna al-adilla. If it is possible to use all the proofs and solve the issue, solve the problem, the contradiction, then this is their first priority. Before they try to neglect, they said, oh, this is a problem, we cannot solve it, so we will look which one is more authentic. And we use it and we neglect the other ahadith. Because this is the second option. When sometimes they cannot solve a contradiction, when they cannot solve it. But if there is a way to solve it, then they keep the ahadith and they use all of them. Because they said these ahadith are coming from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and there should be no contradiction. So they said, in this case, there is no contradiction. Why? Because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not say that he will come with a new sharia. He did not say that he will come with a new message. What did he say? He kept saying, لَيَنْزِلَنَّ ابْنُ مَرْيَمَ فِيكُمْ حَكَمًا عَدْلًا. He will come as a leader, as a judge, as a just judge, as a just ruler, as a decent governor. So he will rule this ummah. He'll be one of the leaders of this ummah. And Islam is the religion of all prophets and messengers. So there is no contradiction between the message of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the message of Isa alaihi salam or the other prophets. They confirm each other. So he will come back, actually, because people believe that they were able to kill him, to crucify him. There are people who claim that he is the son of God. He should come back before the end of time to correct all these false beliefs about him. That is the purpose, that is the wisdom of sending him before the end of times. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. So Rasulullah ﷺ kept on saying, Wallahi, لَيَنْزِلَنَّ ابْنُ مَرْيَمَ فِيكُمْ حَكَمًا عَدْلًا. By Allah, the son of Mary will come down amongst you as a just ruler. He didn't say that he will come with a new message. If he said he will come with a new message, then it will be difficult to solve. It will be a clear contradiction between the two ahadith or two groups of ahadith. But he, and what is the proof? He will be praying with Muslims. He will be performing Hajj. And he will be working with Al-Mahdi, fighting with Imam Al-Mahdi against the false Messiah, Al-Dajjal. So he will be one, a member of this ummah. And the ummah to Tawheed is ummah wahida. From Adam alayhi salam, Adam, the first prophet, till the end of time. It's one ummah, the ummah of Tawheed, the ummah of monotheism, the nation, the community that believed in the oneness of God. It's one ummah, it's one nation. And that's why Rasulullah ﷺ said, all prophets and messengers are brothers, and they are brothers. Yani, they're all sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with a message of Tawheed. There are some differences when it comes to, some Sharia, some masail of Sharia between one prophet and another, because of circumstances, and people lived in different times. But when it comes to the main message, the core message is the same: believing in one God, worshipping only one God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, believing in all the books that were revealed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, believing in all messengers and prophets, believing in angels, believing in the day of judgment, and the existence of paradise and hellfire, same message. All prophets and messengers brought the same message. Now the ayah that is in Surah Ali Imran, I had very difficult time to understand this ayah as a proof for his coming at the end of time. This ayah is in Surah Ali Imran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in it, talking about the angels giving glad tidings to Maryam about a son. إِذْ قَالَتِ الْمَلَائِكَةُ يَا مَرْيَمُ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُبَشِّرُكِ بِكَلِمَةٍ مِّنْهُ اسْمُهُ الْمَسِيحُ عِيسَى بْنُ مَرْيَمَ وَجِيهًا فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ وَمِنَ الْمُقَرَّبِينَ وَيُكَلِّمُ النَّاسَ فِي الْمَهْدِ وَكَهْلًا وَمِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ. So in this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and when the angels told Mary, عليها السلام, Maryam, that God, Allah, gives you glad tiding, good news, of a word from Him, بِكَلِمَةٍ مِنْهُ اسْمُهُ الْمَسِيحُ عِيسَى بْنَ مَرْيَمْ, His name will be Jesus Christ, the Son of Mary. وَجِيهًا فِي الدُّنْيَا, held in honor in this life, وَجِيهًا فِي الدُّنْيَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ وَمِنَ الْمُقَرَّبِينَ, held in honor in this life, and in the day of judgment, and will be among those who will have a close relationship with Allah, or they will be near to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to God. So he will be honored in this life, and he will be honored on the Day of Judgment. And he will have a close relationship with the Creator of the heavens and the earth. وَيُكَلِّمُ And these are good news. If someone comes to you and tells you, I saw in my dream that he will have a pious child who will be honored in this life and will be honored on the Day of Judgment, and he will have a close, a special relationship with God. If someone comes to you, tells you, this is the good news that I'm bringing to you, and this child will be able to talk to people when he's a baby. Because in this ayah, Surah Ali Imran, this Surah Ali Imran, the family of Imran, this is the family of Mary. A family of Mary. They were a noble family from the descendants of Abraham, alayhi salam. Now, Ibrahim, alayhi salam, or Abraham. Now, the other miracle and the other good news, special news, that this boy will be able to talk to people in infancy when he's a baby. وَكَهْلًا What is كَهْلًا? كَهْلًا from الْمُكُهُولَ It's middle age. Okay, what is special about it? If I come to you and tell you, I saw in my dream that you will have a baby, and this baby will grow up, will reach the age, the middle age, and he will be able to talk to people when he's middle aged. And you tell me what? I mean, everyone is talking. 99.99% of people are able to talk and speak. So what is special about it here? What is special about it? There is nothing special. But the malaika, they are giving good news to Maryam. So there must be something special about him being able to speak to people when he's middle-aged. Otherwise, it's not good news. I mean, we compare it with the other good news in the ayah. He will be held in honor in this life, held in honor in the Day of Judgment. He will have a special relationship with Allah. He will be able to talk to people in infancy when he's a baby. And he did. When she came with him, they were shocked. Her family were shocked. And she said, you committed a major sin, Maryam. Your father was not a bad man and your mother was a pure woman. What happened? See, she thought that she had, they thought that she had an illegal relationship with someone else. Because a baby, this is the way people get babies. I mean, there is no other way. Ma'alesh, yani we try to simplify things. And then asharat ilayh in Surah Ali Imran, she pointed to him, to Jesus, when he was a baby. قالوا كيف نكلم من كان في المهدي صبيا? How am I going to talk to a baby in the cradle? And at that time, he talked. He said, "Inni Abdullah, I am the servant of God. Atani al-kitaba wa ja'alani nabiya. He gave me the book and he made me a prophet." وَجَعَلَنِي مُبَارَكًا أَيْنَمَا كُنْتُ And made me blessed wherever I go. And he made me soft or kind to my mother. He had a very great relationship with his mother, Isa alayhi salam. So now in this ayah in Surah Ali Imran, in the ayah in Ali Imran here, being able to talk when you are middle-aged, there is nothing special about it. And Isa alayhi salam reached the age of 33. Christians in the Bible, they said he was taken up when he was at the age between 31 to 33. Muslim scholars agreed. Al-Hasan al-Basri, he said he was taken up when he was the age of 34. And Sa'id ibn Musayyib, he said he was taken up to heaven when he was at the age of 33. So this is middle-aged, so he was able to talk to people when he was 32 and 33. So now the ulama, they said, this is a proof actually of his second return, because it will be miraculous for him to come back at this age and talk to people, coming back from heaven again and talking to people, like someone coming from space. This is a miracle here. It's not about him growing up on earth and being able to talk when you are at the age of four. I mean, when four, two, three, babies are able to talk. There is nothing special about it. When someone is 30 or 33, everyone is able to talk, right? Or 99. There are some people who are mute. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created them this way. But if 99% of people were mute, were speechless, and then you come and tell a person, your boy will be able to talk, then it will be a good news. It will be special, right? Because everyone is speechless. Everyone is mute, right? But here, everyone is able to talk. So there is nothing special about it except to believe that he will come back at the end of time from heaven, from space, and he will be able to talk. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentioned this, that he will speak to people at when he's middle-aged. كَهْلًا وَيُكَلِّمُ النَّاسَ فِي الْمَهْدِ وَكَهْلًا وَمِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ. And he shall be one of the righteous. This is the news that were given to Maryam alayhi salam. The angels gave this good news to Mary alayhi salam. So our ulama are mashallah. Yani when you look at, sometimes you don't understand their argument or the way they derive these proofs. But they are very smart. We have to have some confidence in their scholarship and their skills, especially those classical scholars were able to author these beautiful books that we have nowadays, but we are not able to read and we are not able to deal with. نسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يوفقنا لكل خير. جزاكم الله خيرا بارك الله فيكم for coming tonight. And inshallah we'll continue this subject, not about Isa عليه السلام, about maybe يأجوج and مأجوج. Next week بإذن الله تعالى. جزاكم الله خيرا. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك، أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت، نستغفرك ونتوب إليك.